Good morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Today, I wanted to focus on being comforted of God and exactly how we can facilitate that, how we can make that happen in our lives, bring that comfort of God into a tangible reality as we move along each day. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 2. It says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And comfort is like a father or a mother. They have a hurt child. They say, "Oh, honey, come here." And you pull them alongside. You pull them next to you. Maybe you cradle them in your arms. You speak softly. Maybe you kiss their forehead. It's that that physical, the emotional, the tenderness part of it. And that's what it is to comfort. And it's kind of a summonsing to offer help to that individual needing comfort. It can be an encouragement, because comfort does encourage us, a solace, that which affords comfort or refreshment. It can also provide instruction, because isn't it comforting to know what to do and how to do it correctly? Sure. And it can also have an admonition to it, how we can do something better. That's always comforting. And all means just that, the God of all comfort. It means just that. Each, every, all, any, all types, whatsoever. Like as in this scripture that Jesus healed all manner of sickness and disease. The same thing. Nothing gets missed in this all. Well, we all know that the current news is not good. You have the weather. You have rumors of wars. You have divisiveness and really complex disturbances on our streets. And then, in addition to that, we can be attacked with personal tribulations. And it says, God will comfort us in all our tribulation. And the word tribulation comes from a root word meaning to press or compress, like grapes in the winemaking process. So, you know, it's just the enemy wants us to have tribulation to the point we are so compressed that we pop. You know, you just pop open. And so it definitely means to get in a bind, to get compressed. And whether tribulations come at us in the way of sickness or financial adversity or relationship or workplace issue, our family, maybe our vehicle, our safety, our well-being, all those things. But there is comfort. And all humans can relate to tribulation. Maybe I have an extra dose this week. Maybe you don't. And we don't need to be tempted to make it dramatic or have a pity party, because we all have our tribulations at one point or other. And the only difference is how each individual meets that tribulation. Do I meet it from the vantage point of being comforted by God, having been alongside of him and comforted and being in his bosom, having him speak to me through his word wonderful words of encouragement, admonition, instruction. You know, it's just a wonderful blessing to have the God of all comfort be our Heavenly Father. So today I did want to look at some verses that I call God is verses. They kind of said it. God is. Well, let's look at some of the things God is. Let's look in 1 John, and we'll start in chapter 1. A lot of these are going to be verses you've heard before, but try to look at them in this particular framework of God's comfort. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in God, in him, is no darkness at all. Could that provide comfort? That our Heavenly Father is a God of light, in whom there is no darkness at all? Was there ever a time in your life when you really vested yourself, you really put your heart out there, and you entrusted your deep thoughts to someone who ultimately hurt you? Maybe you made yourself vulnerable and that person ended up being manipulative with your personal information, caused you embarrassment or deep hurt, and you regretted, and maybe to this day, that you let yourself become that vulnerable. Well, we don't have to worry about that with God, because he is light, and in him, he is never going to manipulate us. He is never going to give us a reason to distrust him. That is comforting. God is light. And then let's look at 1 John 4, just over a page or two. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And this is that agape love. This is perfecting love. This is unfailing love. This is not here today, gone tomorrow, emotional high, you know. This is God's love. God is. God is light. God is love. Will you ever have a time when you have to be wondering with a daisy in hand, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. No, because God is love. He is love. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 Corinthians. Another God is verse. And it just builds our case. We can be so trusting, so believing, so secure. And those are all elements of great comfort, cause for great comfort. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful. God is faithful. By whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is light. God is love. God is faithful. And let's look at Genesis. Turn back to Genesis at the beginning. And we're going to look at chapter 21. And verse 22. Let's see, Genesis 21. 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. So this God of light, this God of love, this faithful God, he is with us in all that we do. Well, it's hard to believe we can top that for finding comfort, for sure. In Numbers chapter 23, Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man. Mm-hmm. God is not a human. He's not a human. He is the creator of the humans, the heavens and the earth. He is not a man. And the point to be made here is that humans can lie intentionally or unintentionally because they are informed or misinformed or uninformed. But God is not a man that he should lie. So that strengthens this comforting situation. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians. And in Ephesians 2, we're going to look at verse 4. But God, who is what? Rich. God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. For when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because our boasting is in this God of comfort. Our boasting is in this God of love, of light. The God who is always with us. That is where our boasting is. And I want to look at one more scripture, Psalm 46. And we're going to look at verse 1. God is, another God is verse, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof, we are safe with our Heavenly Father because he is our refuge and he is our strength and he is a very present help in trouble. I like these God is verses, and I think of them as a tether. I know today when you talk about tethering, it's always an IT word where you tether your computers and your phones and all these things, all these apparatuses. But in its original use, it literally means to fasten. So we think of tethering or leashing our pets or our animals. But I tell you what, I've got an animal that needs leashing. And it's spelled M-I-N-D, mind. Thoughts that go on in that mind. They have to be tethered. They have to be fastened to work well for me, to be able to get this, to be comforted of God. I need to fasten my mind onto it is written, onto the things that God tells me. So I think of these God is verses. They get my case going. They get my spiritual adrenaline moving. They warm my heart. They give me confidence. They're like a shot of vitamin B. You know, they're just, they're right there for me. And you know, you tether pets, number one, for their safety. Keeps them from running away. They don't get in the road. They don't get run over. They don't, I mean, you let our little doggies loose and they just, they can't, their heads can't swing around fast enough. They don't know what to do. They're just, ooh. So, you know, tethering is an element to keep us safe, to keep us secure. So we fasten our thinking, fasten our minds, so to speak, to very clear verses like we've just read. God is, God is. And you know what? Having those verses like that be a very reality in our life and us tethering to them, it helps us to recognize error. It helps us to detect false doctrine. Because if anything comes at me through ultimately the enemy, but it could be through very sincere believers that aren't instructed in the word, and they tell me things that go against God is love, that go against God is light, that go against that God is a very present help in time of trouble, then boom, 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 you just are able to knock them away because you're fastened. They aren't going to make you move. They aren't going to let you get very far away from the light and the love, the comfort. This, it's so comforting. And when my thinking is tethered to God's nature, to these very clear verses that tell us who God is, what God does, and how much He loves us, then my expectations can be extremely precise. They can be very clear because I know what God is. I know what God does. And is that comforting? Mm-hmm. To know where you're going, to know how you're going to get there, to know ahead of time the general personality of the result. If He can do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, I can't know the result precisely. Except it will be good. It will be very good. Let's look at Psalm 84. Just over a little bit. Psalm 84 and verse 11. It says, "For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." No good thing will He withhold to them that walk uprightly. Well, I read that verse, and being human, it sounds really good until I get to them that walk uprightly. And then I start to get a little wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it depends on me. Uh-oh, we're in trouble now. But the word goes on to say, right away I have to grab a tether. I have to be tethered. Because let's look at 1 John 3:20. 1 John. And chapter 3. And in verse 20 it says, "For if Now I'm going to do this very personally. For if my heart condemn me, God is greater than my heart and knoweth all things. So, that helps me get resilient again. I don't need to be afraid. Of course, I love God. I want to do His will. Will I make mistakes? Of course. But is it my heart's desire before I get out of bed in the morning to see how many I can make in a day? See how many people I can hurt? Might I say something that would hurt somebody's feelings? Oh, yes. Did I get up desiring to do that? Oh, no. Not at all. So, we tether ourselves to, I don't need to let my heart condemn me. Look at Psalm 103. This is pretty cool. And, you know, these are all verses that you know. They're all verses that you've heard. And it is helpful to link them all together. It will sometimes walk you through. It sometimes just doing that will be a very present help in time of trouble, especially when things come up and we allow ourselves to feel bad or get condemned or feel unworthy. So there's one thing that God knows about us, and He addresses it in Psalm 103, starting at verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that respect Him. And that word pity, it's used two times here, and it means to love deeply. The Lord loves you deeply. He has mercy. He has compassion. He has a tender affection toward you. Verse 14, for He knows our frame. He remembers that we're made of dust. He remembers that we're dust. So our frame includes our physical and our intellectual framework. He full well knows and understands our physical formation. Because you know what? He formed it. He's got the book. And He understands the mind. And what's more is He understands every individual's mind. It's not just that He wrote a book about the mind. He knows your mind. And you know what? He loves you dearly. Now, if that doesn't bring comfort, I can't imagine what would. And then, you know, we think of verses like John 3:16 that totally tells us that God started everything out on love. He built everything on His love. Because He is love. Let's look at, hold your place in 1 John, and let's go to Lamentations 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Actually, I guess I already got you away from 1 John, but we are going to go back there at some point. Lamentations 3. There myself. And let's look at, let's start at verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. So to have hope, we have to sometimes recall things to our mind. And that's what that tether does. It's there to call things to our mind. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. His compassions are new every morning. And great is His faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. So let's go back to 1 John 3 and we'll finish that. The next verse is really fabulous. So we were looking about if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And verse 21 says, beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, which is where we want to get to, then have we confidence toward God. So you see how I could have worked myself out of that problem? Here I'm reading this beautiful verse in the Old Testament, and all of a sudden, I also think of, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Uh-oh. Now you're talking about me again. You know, and we sometimes think, well, maybe I won't prosper because maybe my soul's not prospering. Well, fasten it. Fasten your thoughts to these beautiful verses and don't let your heart condemn you. Tell the adversary, no delivery, return to sender, drop it, like we tell our little doggies, leave it. Leave it down, whatever you need to say. But the point is, you don't accept anything less than what God outlines as his heart for you. So these are really great, clear verses that help us so much. So it says in verse 21, again, we're going to look at that. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have we confidence toward God. And confidence is a free and fearless, cheerful courage. Isn't that a beautiful word? A free and fearless, cheerful courage, a boldness, an assurance. And then I think of that beautiful, I'll just read it to you in 1 John 5, 14 and 15. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. So our desire should be to tether ourselves to the word and to clear scriptures, and those scriptures will eradicate so-called reasonable thoughts that try to talk us out of it. And I tell you, if you starve your doubts and fears, then you're going to build your believing. And it's, I think of it, they're always telling you if you go on a diet and you cut out sugar, those first few days are miserable because it is so hard to get it out of your system. Once it's out of your system, they say you don't miss it much. Well, it is hard to starve doubts and fears, but the word will cleanse us from those. And then all those reasons to doubt God's promises, his promised results, they'll be whisked away with it is written. And, you know, we all think a lot of thoughts in a day's time. And one thing I've learned is that we should not allow ourselves to believe everything we think. It may sound funny, but boy, I tell you, it is funny, but it's true. And there's no doubt the mind is a wonderful thing. It helps us solve problems. It helps us understand concepts. It heaven's sakes, it helps us live a life worth living. It helps us understand God's word. But unframed thoughts can betray us quicker than a heartbeat. You think about it. We have many, many years of experience. Even if we were in the Word all of our lives, we have years of experience. And thoughts throughout the day sometimes are simply a reaction to something that happened today, but our course of action actually is just being mimicked from a previous experience in our life. So we have to have our minds fastened to the Word so that you can make a discernment, so that you can make a decision. No, that was a situation where I didn't trust that person. We're talking about trusting God. This is a decision I make today. Because you can't rely on decisions and actions you took based on an old heartache, an old disappointment, an old broken promise. We don't live there anymore. That's not where we live. So we allow those tethering verses to hold us in God's safe space. I think we had a teaching about that a few weeks ago. God's safe place. So, and you know, we are human. So it is even possible that we would become afraid in a situation. Oh, I know a tether. Let's look at Psalm 56. Psalm 56. And you know, you don't believe everything you think, but maybe it would come up in our minds to be afraid, to be very concerned about something. And we do have to at times take action to avoid danger. So the tethered mind considers the thoughts and makes a godly decision and takes a godly action. But in Psalm 56, let's start in verse 1. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me." So when we're afraid, there's a tether. That's what we grab hold of. So tether yourself. Any thought is possible, and don't think it's one and done, because those thoughts will knock on the door again. Here's a package. But we practice and we get better. We recognize when we're putting ourselves down. We learn to recognize when we're thinking evil. We get good at meditating upon the scriptures. We revolve them around in our minds. We build one upon another. And we link them all together. So I'm just going to read you some thoughts that comfort your heart. And you here today, I'll give them to you, but they'll also be in the email that goes out with the teaching today. So we'll just list these scriptures. So I would just love for you to sit and enjoy comforting scriptures that you really would live a much better life if you had them readily at your disposal to the point that you were fastened to them. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it above the ordinary measure. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And I was thinking this week, as looking at these verses and kind of preparing the sharing, that, you know, we do not need to tell God how big the storm is. He knows. We need to tell the storm how powerful God is. So when we pray, when we command, when we rebuke, we do not want to find ourselves inadvertently magnifying the power of the enemy, because he just really doesn't have much power when you put it up next to the power of our Heavenly Father. So it is my prayer that you would evaluate your results in life. Are you enjoying life above the ordinary measure? And if in any area you don't feel that you are, it doesn't have to be a big dramatic thing. Just become resolute in the innermost chambers of your own heart. This is unacceptable, because my daddy doesn't like it. He doesn't want me living below the ordinary measure. He spent a lot. He invested a lot. He gave a lot that we could live above the ordinary measure. So evaluate your results and then walk it back. Figure out what trains of thought are defeating your results. And this is a little delicate to get into, but beloved of God is a tad different. I know we read the same verses that perhaps we've all read for years, and maybe some of the phraseology you automatically perceive, we're talking about the same thing we always used to talk about, but I am here to tell you we are not. It is different. It is different because we are really seeking to pursue God is. God is. And we have arrived at a, I would say, a more correct level of the qualities of God. And we're building upon things we already knew. And we should expect that. Our understanding is unfolding in a greater way. And we should expect that. Growing is good. Further development is a wonderful thing. But the light of God's word should stabilize our belief in his unfailing love and his gracious mercy, so that we aren't tossed from a promise that he gave to a corresponding doubt, because we can't see possibly how that promise could happen. We may not see the way, but God knows the way. So, you know, we don't want believers, we don't want ourselves to be double-minded, where you see a promise of God, oh, well, I'm going to believe that. And then we get knocked off the tether. You know, we stay fastened. And I think of examples in the Word. Daniel in the lion's den, he was resolute. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, determined, sure, even to the fact that he said, ah, even if God didn't save us, we're not going to bow. We're not going to worship you. They were so sure. And they cranked that little fire up 7 times higher, and God was faithful. And then you think of Jesus after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. He was hungry. And he said on all those temptations, it is written. He didn't tell God how hungry he was, how hard that 40 days and 40 nights had been. There was no drama. He simply spoke resolutely to the devil, it is written. And he spoke the words that were appropriate for each of those. I want to read a testimony that we received last week of a miraculous healing. And, well, I'll just read it. It's a beautiful deliverance. It's a beautiful healing. And throughout, you will see how a good choice was made at every turn. And you will notice that the situation happened quickly. So those decisions had to be made quickly. And then you think how today's scriptures can affect the results in our own lives. So I'm reading this just the way it was sent to us. So here we go. I was at work, a very sleek, modern, newer home that had just been remodeled. I was there all by myself cleaning when I slipped and fell on the hard stone floor. It was such a hard fall that it took me a little bit time to collect myself. I had landed with all my weight on my right knee. I sat up and looked at my knee and could hardly believe what I saw. It was ballooning up, turned purple, badly cut open, and bleeding all over the place. And oh, the pain. Wow. It shot like a knife all through me. Oh my goodness, in a flash of a second, I knew I had two choices. Believe God or accept a terrible injury that may take months to heal fully. It was bad. But I was too busy moving the word of God to be ambushed by the devil. If I was really live for God, I needed a healthy leg that worked well all the time. But there's more to this story. Many years ago, the same leg was healed from an injury far worse than this one. I had fallen off a ladder while painting my house and landed hard on the ground. When I sat up, I realized that my right foot had broken off my leg and was hanging by skin. It would be a whole year and 2 bone rebuilding surgeries before I would learn to walk again. But that leg was healed and works wonderfully, no limitations of movement and no pain. And I had prayed at that time that I wanted very much to be healed enough to wear high heels. I love high heels, and wasn't willing to give up wearing them. Well, God is good and healed me as I asked. I wear high heels all the time. I am God's minister in high heels. So 2 weeks ago, here I sat again, asking God to heal me. I refused to accept the enemy's attack. I just won't have it. I slapped my hand on that badly injured knee and ministered to myself, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, heal my knee. And right there before my eyes, the swelling went down, the purple went away, the open wound closed up, and the blood vanished. I was instantly healed miraculously. I didn't even have to clean up a mess on the floor. It was just gone. God had done it again, healed the same leg. I jumped up, walking, leaping, and praised God. I burst into tears of joy and was laughing along with God at the miracle. I couldn't wait to call a believer and rejoice. I called my good friend and we laughed and praised God for his wonderful healing miracle. As soon as I got home, I put on my victory high heels and walked around my house thanking God. I've been telling everyone I know, so now if you see me wearing high heels, it's more than just pretty shoes. It means victory. Isn't that great? So turn to Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll close out. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12, for the word of God, and I want to add that we're fastened to, the word of God that we're tethered to, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Allow God's word tethering your thoughts to keep you quick on your feet for victory. We all have two choices. As you contemplate today's message and the scriptures we've read and shared, may the peace of God that passes understanding flood your souls and keep you comforted in the joy of the Lord. His compassions, they fail not. God is faithful unto you. God bless you.